This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 299 for Wednesday, December 12th, 2018. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Joining me, as he always does, in the second week of the month, Mr. Lou Page of Zombies Ate My Podcast and at Busy Zombie Lord on all the social media that matters. Good day, sir.
Hi.
I should say good night because it's like well after dark.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it has, as we get closer and closer to December 21st, I think is the first day of winter, I'm starting to turn lights on around my studio earlier and earlier. I think I turned lights on today at like 4 o'clock, and it was a sunny day here today. It was not overcast.
We're not home most of the day, and we still leave, I leave my front porch light on all day, because if I don't, my neighborhood has no street lights.
Oh, wow.
So when I come home at night, I don't put on the light, we have a pole at the end of our driveway. Okay. But I don't leave that light on when I go out to work in the morning. It's dark when I leave for work, and it's dark when I come back. And it's like, oh, which one's my house again?
the long 9-to-5 grind, and you're just driving home like, I don't remember where I live.
I just
want to go home. Yeah, I don't miss that about commuting, about doing, because I did studio jobs years and years ago where it was roughly a 9-to-5. It was like I used to do 8:30 to 5 or 8:30 to 5:30 just because I was production managing, and sometimes it was nice to get in there ahead of some of the production crew and just get organized for the day. But in the wintertime, it did always mean like it was sunny on the way to work most of the time, but it was definitely dark on the way home. And I always found that was just depressing. You just like get me out of the cold and out of the dark, and it's weird because normally, I mean, like you, I'm Canadian, you might as well be because you live so close. We deal with the same winter stuff, and normally it doesn't bother me. Like normally winter does not get underneath my skin. But for whatever reason this year, I could skip it, you know, outside of Christmas.
I had this conversation with a coworker the other day. They were saying something about, winter, and I was like, you know what, I will take this winter so far. I'm glad we haven't gotten nearly as much snow as we did last winter. This time last winter there was like 2 feet of snow out on my driveway and out in my yard, and it was not going to melt anytime soon. At the current rate, there is grass on my ground out front of my house. That like the snow was there, it's gone now, so I'll take that. I just wish it wasn't so damn cold middle of the day where it's like, I'll try to describe this in Canadian. It's below zero for you guys, for us.
Oh yeah.
And it's like that for weeks. And I'm like, you know, we used to get a warm day here and there, not getting that. We're getting, it's too cold to snow.
Yeah. I went out for a Christmas party there last Saturday. And I had to walk home. The bus schedule did not line up, and I had had a couple of beers. So I was looking to get home, and I was like, well, I'm close enough. I might as well just walk. You know, it wasn't worth a cab, and cabs in Dartmouth that time of night are difficult to find sometimes. And so I walked home, and when on the walk home, I quickly realized, well, this may be not the best idea. It was minus 17. At the time. So for you guys in the States, that's 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Yep. Almost at zero Fahrenheit.
We've been averaging about that off and on like every couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. That's normal for like February around here, but not December. It's never usually that cold. We have broken all the rules at the top of the show. There's not supposed to be any geography, nor is there supposed to be any weather. However, we've covered both. So that's good. We're good for the rest of the year. speaking of, we have one more episode left coming up next week. And if you're paying attention, It's the big episode 300, and I've organized something cool. We've got Lou is going to be back for a little bit. Brockett is going to be on for the show, and Megan is also going to be here. So we'll be able to do a show with all of the co-hosts at once, which is great. I'm excited. I think it should be a lot of fun. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. We might end up just kind of shooting the breeze for the hour, but I'm looking forward to it very, very much. Hammond, unfortunately, is busy and couldn't make it. However, there is still going to be a Christmas episode with him, and it's just not going to be on the Citadel Cafe. It's going to be on Comics Coast to Coast. He pops by every year for our holiday special on that podcast, and that's tomorrow night. We're recording with him then. So between now and next Wednesday, you'll be able to at least get a holiday episode with everybody from the Citadel Cafe. And one thing I thought would be kind of fun, we're doing this on the Spun Chunks as well, and that is to get some email at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. If you've got questions about like what we're watching or what we're into or thoughts on certain things for myself, Brockett, Lou, or Megan, then shoot us an email and let us know. But shoot it, I guess, maybe quickly, because that show is going to be within a week and holidays and craziness. I'd like to be able to at least put those in the notes and give everybody a chance to look at them before we record next Wednesday. So thecitadelcafe@gmail.com for that. And I think that should be a lot of fun. I have not been watching a whole lot this week. I've been flat out between a lot of admin work with the publishing company and a bunch of other things that I've got going on. Plus holidays and all that kind of stuff seems to have started. Although it's funny, I was just having an exchange with Brockett earlier, and he was saying that he is now officially done and sick of Christmas music, and it's only the 12th. And My reply was, actually, I've avoided it entirely. I have not heard one Christmas song yet.
I can't avoid it.
You know, it's in the car and, you know.
No. I have a neighbor with one of those lights that goes to Christmas music, and it like beats in rhythm. And he keeps that thing cranked until like 11 o'clock at night every night.
Oh, that's gross.
So you can't step out on my porch or go outside to like go start the car in the morning where you don't hear like, dun, 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 dun. You're like, oh, stop it.
Ho, 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 neighbor. Yeah, no, we don't have anything like that. And I haven't even noticed that many lights. Granted, I'm not out walking around a lot at night around here, but I haven't noticed a lot of decorations up in the neighborhood. Some people have their lights on.
We put up garland and we put up a couple of bows on the front of the house for the holidays, but that's all we did. I'm not going to hook up lights or anything.
Yeah, I could decorate my balcony, I guess, but there's no one that's really going to see it. So I will eventually put up a tree. I do like having a Christmas tree around. It's kind of a nice, gives a little bit of atmosphere here and there. But I keep it simple. Like, I don't go crazy. It's just the tree. And then maybe, what I like to do is when I get Christmas cards, I'll put them out on like the coffee table or end tables and stuff like that.
We tape ours to the fridge.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen that before too. My fridge is already full of like art and stuff, so I don't really have room on them. But I haven't really watched anything. I mean, nothing that I haven't talked about on the Citadel Cafe already. Like, I continue to watch the Last Kingdom and a few other things, but nothing to really write home about. However, I did take in Avengers Endgame, the teaser trailer, as well as Captain Marvel, the second full trailer for those two films. I know you've seen them as well. So I thought, yes, it'd be kind of a fun opportunity to bounce those around. Because I'm excited for both of those movies. They both look like they're going to be very, very good.
They are. And the one thing I will say is I'm more excited for Avengers Endgame than I expected to. Because I enjoyed Infinity War. But by the end of it, I was like, I was ready for it to be over.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, okay. Like,
yeah. I rewatched Infinity War recently, and it's a good movie, but you forget right up to the very end when they do that final battle and it starts to go sideways. You forget that movie does not leave you feeling very good.
No, and I think that's my gripe with it. Like, I love all the Marvel movies for the most part. Like, there's none that I would say, oh, I hate it. There's a couple that I'll be like, not as good as the others. But I don't, that one, I like it, but when I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, I might feel different if I knew how it ends with Endgame. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and it's the experience of the Empire Strikes Back without knowing what happens in Return of the Jedi, right? It's that experience right. that those people had for the first time in theaters when, you know, Han Solo was in kryptonite. Luke's lost his hand. The bad guys basically won. What the F? Like, we have to wait 3 or 4 years before we can see the other one. So that I think is part of it. And I'm curious. I really like the way that they handled the trailer. It's heavy. Like, obviously, they give you a lot of weight. You're watching Romanoff and Rogers and Stark kind of dealing with the loss at the beginning of the trailer. The whole voiceover is by Black Widow, so she's the one kind of narrating what happens. Kind of, it's a conversation she's having with Steve Rogers,
I think they're setting her up so that she gets her own movie.
Oh yeah,
it's a done deal that she's getting her own movie.
Yes, it's filming in 2020 or filming in 2019, something like that. I went to IMDb to look up a couple of character names that I couldn't remember, embarrassingly, but. I also noticed a bunch of other people that were in Endgame that I wish I didn't know, so I won't mention that.
There's a rumor that in the Black Widow movie, Daredevil may be making an appearance.
Interesting. See, like that would be kind of cool.
It's a really, really big rumor that I've heard floating around that there's a script in it. And at some point, she needs a lawyer and she gets them to represent her or something.
Nice. That'd be kind of like a fun recruitment thing.
Yeah,
I would love. I mean, if obviously Avengers the film series is coming to a close. Like, I'm pretty sure that Chris Evans has said that he's done. You know, with Captain America. Yeah. I would love to see, especially now that Disney is doing their own streaming thing, and because of all the money behind Disney and Marvel, if they could do an Avengers TV show. What the Defenders could have been, and then work, then like have a rotating roster, like bring in Daredevil into the Avengers, bring in, you know,
right.
have some rotations and stuff there. That could be done well. Like that could be
really cool. But I don't think that they're more focused on Loki and Scarlet Witch are going to get their own shows next year.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I knew about the Loki thing.
Which I don't understand how they're doing that, because it's a stated fact now that Loki is officially dead and not coming back.
Oh, in the... Well, it's going to be prequels or, you know, the time that we didn't see him or something like that.
Right. And that stuff doesn't interest me.
No, I'm not interested in that either. I mean, I like him as a character, but I don't think he's not a strong enough character for me personally to carry an entire series or even a film. I find him even difficult in the Thor movies when he's in them a lot. Like, I don't find that he's good in a lot of screen time. He's excellent in small bits, but I don't find that Loki as a character is something that I'm that interested in overall. But the Avengers trailer, sorry, the Endgame trailer, it starts off with a monologue from Tony Stark talking to his suit. He's doing a recording for Piper because he doesn't think he's going to last. He's lost in space. You have no idea what's going to happen to him. Then it cuts to...
And he's on the Guardian's ship.
Yeah, he's on the Guardian's ship. Because everybody that he was with, he was the only person left, right?
When they fought him and Thanos. Nebula.
Nebula, right. That's right. Speaking of, I should let people know that the roster that was shown in the trailer so far is Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, Hawkeye makes an appearance. I'm kind of disappointed that they put that in the trailer. I was hoping... Like, if that's the kind of thing where you kind of want that to be a reveal... in the movie, just because of how close Romanoff, Black Widow, and Clint are.
I think they were trying to give people that were kind of like, after Infinity War, kind of a hint to like, no, there's more heroes.
Yeah, more heroes and the original roster, right? Like it's right back down to the core five. So they show Bruce Banner. He's not as the Hulk, but they show him as Bruce. Thor's in it. Like you said, Nebula is in it as well. And what I really liked about the trailer, they did give a little bit of humor at the end when they do, they let you know that Scott Lang, that Ant-Man is in it. And it's typical him. Like he's at the front door and he's trying to convince like, hey, remember me? I was at the airport last in Germany. Like I thought that was a well balanced, way to kind of portray his kind of coming into the Avengers. And go ahead.
The rumor I've heard is that, you know, they're talking about whether or not that video footage is live or not.
Right.
The rumor I've heard is that they think they're watching live footage and then realize that that's like 30 years old.
Oh,
and that he's somehow time traveled and they've got to go back and find him.
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay, interesting. I haven't watched Ant-Man and the Wasp yet. That's going to be on my list before I watch any more Marvel movies in theaters. I want to kind of catch up. But I like the way that they sort of hint at hope. It's subtle. You've got to pay attention. I mean, something not so subtle. Steve Rogers is clean shaven again. He looks very much like Captain America. Right. And in one of the clips where Romanoff and Rogers are talking, he's in the suit from Civil War. Like, he's got the silver star in his chest. He's got, you know, the blue and the star spangled. It's not like a bright cartoony suit, but it's the suit that I wish he had worn in Avengers number one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks, things are looking like they get back to normal, as normal as they can be when half of, you know, civilization has been wiped out. But I'm excited for it. It sets the right mood. It looks like it's got some serious weight to it.
We talked briefly about Hawkeye, but you do know who he is with that uniform on.
Right? I don't.
He's not Hawkeye anymore.
Oh.
He's Ronin.
Oh, okay. But isn't Ronin one of the bad guys?
No. Somebody kills his family. In this, I think they're going to hint that maybe
they disappeared with Thanos.
They disappeared with Thanos. And he goes to Japan and ends up becoming like a wandering samurai.
Oh. Taking out
Yakuza and stuff.
And so that explains the sword, not the bow and arrow. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Because it was a dark, almost mohawk sort of version of Clint Barton. So I'm on board. I mean, I was thrilled with Infinity War and looking forward to this. And what the thing that people can at least look forward to with Endgame is that, spoiler, the good guys are going to win. Right?
Yes.
So you're going to have a lot of hero stuff happening. Like, this is going to be the upswing that you didn't get at the end of Infinity War.
I think we're going to get a happy ending. I don't think it's going to be the, like, oh my God, I think some of our heroes are going to die.
No, that's true. Like, I agree that I don't necessarily think that everybody's going to make it, but somehow people are going to save the day.
There was a leaked description about Spider-Man.
Well, I don't want to know.
In the description, they mentioned someone who may die in Endgame. And so people were really pissed. This was a couple of months ago.
Yeah, like that would, I don't want to know that yet either. That would really rub me the wrong way. But like, all you have to do is look up movie schedules for 2019 and Spider-Man Far From Home is on July 5th.
Yeah.
So, and that's the only Marvel movie scheduled for 2019 past Captain Marvel in March, on March 8th and April 24th for Endgame. So there's only the three. So with Spider-Man happening so soon after April, like I'm assuming Spider-Man comes back.
I mean, we will be getting a Spider-Man trailer soon too.
Oh, cool. That's good to know.
That's supposed to be happening in the next, before Christmas.
Yeah.
Because, they did a Comic-Con or something down in Brazil, and the Brazilian audience got to see a rough cut trailer of Spider-Man Far Away From Home.
Mm.
So since they got to see that, Marvel has said they're going to put it out before Christmas before it starts getting leaks online.
Mm, that makes sense. Control it rather than let it go. But that's good. I mean, I really enjoy the new Spider-Man and all that kind of stuff. It's Tom, what's his last name?
Tom Holland.
Holland. You knew that was going to happen. They're not going to cast a young guy like that just knocks it out of the park and then not make more movies. I mean, and they had announced that shortly after Spider-Man Homecoming was out.
I actually want to
go back and watch that. I haven't seen that in a long time.
What, Homecoming?
Yeah.
I just recently rewatched it, maybe a month or so ago. It still holds up. It's still good. It compels you from the beginning to right to the end. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no moment in that movie where I was like, oh, it's this part.
Yeah.
Which sometimes happens in a movie. That movie is like nonstop from beginning to end. You're just like, I'm just compelled to watch this.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I feel the same about a lot of the Avengers films and most Marvel movies. There's not really many slow parts. The only one that I haven't gone back to rewatch is Ant-Man, the first one.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, it's one of my favorites.
I'm not a big fan of the character. Not that I don't like Ant-Man. It's just that I don't know a lot. So I knew a lot more of everybody else going into them. So I'm more inclined to go back and rewatch Thor I really enjoy Civil War. Like, I'll watch Civil War any time of the day.
I think the reason I like it so much is because it is a comedy. And it doesn't take itself way too seriously. The bad guy is kind of a little over the top, but you're like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
They're going to win in the end. And I know they're going to win, and it's going to be silly, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm really looking forward to Endgame, though. It's I think it's going to be an event, you know, to have seen this 10 years of Marvel and like 20 movies all kind of culminating in one kind of apex. I think it's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of really, really cool, Captain Marvel trailer 2, man.
I'm more excited for this than that first trailer. That first trailer did not sell me in any way, shape or form.
No.
I was like, yeah, I kind of know all of this. This isn't really a surprise to me. Show me some action. And it's like, no. You're just hinting at plot points. I don't care about the plot.
Yeah.
Show me some action.
I feel like what they were doing, the first teaser and even the first trailer, were very much for the hardcore fans that know all the stuff, right? Because I know nothing about Captain Marvel. I know who she is, but I've not seen, outside of fan art, I've not seen anything. I've not read comics. I don't know any of the backstories. I barely even know, is it the Kree? Are the bad guys? So I've only heard mention of it from people, well, friends like Peyton.
The Kree were in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
The what's his name with the hammer? He was a Kree like nobleman.
Right. Wasn't he Ronin? Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other Ronin is a different Ronin. Different spelling.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Ronin the Kree is like, that's the guy's name, and Ronin as Hawkeye is spelled like the samurai.
Right.
Ronin.
Yeah. Okay.
Different spelling, same sounding.
Right. Well, I mean, they cross over with that kind of stuff too. I get confused because Carol Danvers is the name of Captain Marvel, but Danvers is the surname of all the Supergirl stuff. In the current television series. So whenever you say Danvers, I think Alex Danvers, Kara Danvers. I can't remember her mom's name in the show, but like I thought it was Carol, but it's not. It's like Sylvie or something. I looked it up.
It's Sylvia, I think, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
But anyway, lots of crossover. And then there's the whole Captain Marvel and then Shazam and Captain Marvel, and like this is really, it really gets convoluted. But so Brie Larson is playing Carol Danvers, who is Captain Marvel, and she looks and acts badass with a smile, which is nice. Like there's a conversation early in the trailer where Sam Jackson is kind of monologuing or confirming all the stuff that he knows, and it's kind of giving you the backstory, you know. So you're a Kree, you're part of a warrior race, and she's like, warrior hero race, smirk. You know, and it's she's correcting him, and that kind of stuff is really, really cool. But it quickly gets into some action. There's a subway fight between Captain Marvel, I don't know at what point she becomes Captain Marvel, so I don't want to overstep.
She's going to begin the movie as Captain Marvel.
Yeah, so Carol Danvers. Well, I mean, I think to me the Captain Marvel thing is the different color suit, whereas there's a green and black suit, and then there's also the red, the yellow and the blue.
Like, we're going to get a backstory with this film, but I have a funny feeling it's going to be done in flashbacks.
Mm.
I think we're going to have her with all of her powers from the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm. No, that sounds like
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I like that they did that with Superman, Man of Steel, how they showed the backstory, but it was flashbacks.
Yeah. Okay, so the first trailer, the thing that annoyed me the most was the old lady scene in the last trailer. It shows her punch the old lady, but they don't, you don't see the after effect. So there were a lot of people like that don't know superheroes that were freaking out that Captain Marvel was beating up on an old lady.
Right.
And I think anybody who's familiar with comics knows that the Skrulls were somehow going to be involved. They're involved in all kinds of cosmic bad stuff in the Marvel universe, and they're shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they get the, that's why they cause so many problems.
Yeah, and I knew that, and when you know enough about Marvel movies, when you're watching the trailer for like the 20th movie, you kind of understand that that's probably not what it appears to be.
Right. And that's what irked me with that first trailer is they cut before you see the old lady turn into anything.
Yeah.
And you're like, really?
So
people people get all upset. I had somebody at work be like, watch those superhero movies. Did you see that superhero beat up on that old lady? And I'm like,
you're like, listen, Muggle.
Yeah.
Let me explain you some stuff. Yeah. Something that I really enjoyed about this trailer, though, is that the old lady doesn't turn into a Skrull.
No, she just
fights like superhero style, flipping around poles and kicking, you know, Carol Danvers all over the place. And like, yeah, it's action packed, but also hilarious because this little old lady is in a knockout, drag down fight on a subway with Carol Danvers, which it was really, really cool. And there's a lot of really grand action too. Like they show, there's a line in the trailer where she says like, I'm not going to fight your war, I'm going to end it. And then they cut to like her full blown armor and whatever her alien magical stuff is. I don't know if it's magic or tech or genetics or
it's
what.
It's tech. She's been genetically modified to be a fighter.
Right. So she's got like, she's flying and she's got lasers coming out of her hands and her hair is like a mohawk and she's kind of on fire. It's like, it is bonkers. And one of the best images is it's cut short, but there's this moment where she's, how I see her in a lot of comic images, where she's full uniform, but it stops at her neck. So you get to see, you know, Brie Larson's face and her hair is all like half hair, half like
mohawk
energy. No, this is the thing. I'm not a fan of the mohawk. It's a cool look to get across some like some badass this woman needs.
That's
kind
of her spacesuit.
Yeah. And I get that. Like, rather than try to tuck all of her hair into the helmet, which makes no sense, just have the helmet stop at her head and have the hair go at the top of it.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of badass. It reminds me of some of the designs for Storm, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
But I really like the, I guess we'll say like the connection that you can make with a character when she's standing there. You can see her face. She looks like she's going to kick your butt. And her hair is like half energy fire, but half real hair. Her hands look like they're pulsing with energy and ready to blast you into the oblivion. And like that to me is more relatable. And you just identify more with the character versus being behind the mask. It's the reason why everybody likes Captain America and can identify with Captain America more than say Tony Stark. Cause he's always just behind the metal face, you know, mm-hmm. Whereas at least with Steve Rogers, you can see his face most of the time. So right. I feel like that's something I really enjoyed about the trailer when they show her kind of like full bore. And I hope you're right. I hope that doesn't happen at the end of the film. Like, I hope it happens kind of midway through.
Yeah, I think that is going to be like the midway. I have a funny feeling she won't be in that green costume very long.
No, yeah. And there's a lot of kind of voiceover. I think is it Diane Keating that's in it? I didn't go to IMDb on purpose.
No, because it's, I got spoiled. It's what's her name that's married to
Kate Benning?
Yes. Annette Warren Benning.
Annette Benning. Thank you. Yeah. Warren Beatty's her husband or ex-husband.
Yes.
I think. I don't keep up on all the social stuff.
Neither do I.
Yeah. So so she's, because you're listening to it before they show her, you're like, I know that voice. Like, I know that delivery. And so she explains that she's been reprogrammed and reborn and made into a Kree warrior, and sort of explains her memory loss and why she's remembering stuff from Earth and why she's having these flashbacks and why some of the trailer is like, it looks like a 90s throwback.
Well, the movie takes place in the 90s.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. And
I think it's supposed to be 93.
Yeah. The whole thing plays out like Top Gun on space steroids.
Yeah.
Like it really does look like a fighter jet movie from our youth, but then it flips into a Marvel movie at the same time. Like it's really right. Over the top.
And I'm ready for it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I have a funny feeling we're going to get one more trailer before March.
Oh, probably.
And I'm okay with that. But I guarantee you this next trailer will be shorter. They're going to give us less stuff. It's going to probably be a rehashing of what we've already seen.
Yeah, rehashing, maybe a couple big, you know, explosions or something. And maybe another character reveal or something to try to get more people to it. Like there might be, maybe not another Marvel, like no, they're not going to spoil any cool cameos, but like maybe another character from the Captain Marvel comics that's exclusive to her storyline will be in it.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of the Cat.
Or more of the bad guys. Yeah, the cat was good. I had to go back and pause this. This was a really fun Easter egg because I couldn't tell because I was watching on my phone and it's really tiny and really subtle. But I don't mention Top Gun by accident. It was just hilarious to me that I was sitting there watching this, going like, man, this really does feel like a Top Gun movie. And as I was writing notes for the show, I was like, you know what? They pause on that cat for a really long time. Like it is a comedic beat at the end of this. So if you zoom in and you pause it when Sam Jackson is holding the name tag of the cat is named Goose.
Yes. The cat is named something else in the comics.
Okay.
But they changed the name specifically because it coincides with the name of something else that's popular right now, and they didn't want it to get confusing.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing, too, is the cat is a regular character in the comic.
Oh, okay.
It's not from Earth.
Oh, neat.
It doesn't talk or anything. But if they keep it from the comics, when it opens its mouth, it's like a giant tentacle beast comes out and swallows bad guys.
That's over the top.
Yeah. And in the comics, she has to wear it, put a mouth guard on it because it has a tendency to eat things it's not supposed to. And it's like a running gag in the comic. And there was a leak of a toy that's being made for the movie, and in the toy the cat has a mouth guard on, so people are suspecting that that might be a comedic scene that happens in the film,
right? Kind of like a post trailer thing that would, or like, yeah, the end credits. Yeah, that would be kind of funny. I thought it was cute that they have all these shots with her in a flight suit and getting into F-18s and all this kind of stuff. Well, I guess it wouldn't be F-18s, but it would be the other kind of fighter jets that they would have flown, you know, back then. But still, like it was a fun nod to Top Gun. And I also enjoyed the lighter version of Nick Fury, like the jokier. Well,
you also get the distinct impression that he hasn't seen as much yet, and that like maybe he's not as badass as he is in the rest of the movies.
Yeah, that could be true too.
This might be the moment where he goes, oh, there is bad stuff out here. There's a reason for us to be S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And Coulson is going to be in the movie. Yes. And Coulson is in this film.
Okay, cool. Yeah, see, I went to, I won't say anything about this one, but I went to the Avengers IMDb page and I got spoiled by a couple of credits that I didn't realize those characters were in the film. So I don't want to say, because I know some people really like to try to avoid all this kind of stuff, but For stuff like that, like knowing Coulson's in the film, like that to me, I mean, that's not a spoiler. That to me is just,
well, the movie takes place in the 90s.
Pre Avengers 1. But for me, it's one of those things where like the more I see about the trailers now, like now that I've seen this trailer, I'm probably going to avoid the others. Like I'm probably just going to go in to Captain Marvel thinking like, nope, this is going to be good. My expectations are up there with Wonder Woman. Like I'm looking at this like it's going to be a really excellent film with a female lead.
Speaking of Wonder Woman, I'm actually kind of surprised we haven't gotten a Wonder Woman 84 yet trailer.
Yeah, when's that supposed to come out?
Like next year.
Well, DC's focused on Aquaman.
Yeah, and as far as I know, Wonder Woman 84 had finished wrapping like 3 months ago.
Mm.
So who knows?
Yeah. Well, before we move on too much longer, Aquaman is actually on my hit list of stuff I want to see over the holidays. What are you looking forward to over the holiday season for movies? Anything?
The one thing I'm probably going to definitely go see before the holidays are over is I want to go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Right.
Which I believe that comes out this week.
I forgot to mark down all the dates, but it's soon. It's like the 14th.
Then it's this weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
That might be the thing that I might go see.
So the more trailers that I see for that, the less I want to see it. At least in really? Theater. Like I'll watch it if I'm bored at home, but I'm not. It's not something that I'm champing at the bit to go see. After the first trailer, I was like, oh wow, yeah, I want to check this out. But after the talking pig, it's like, nope, I don't care. I'll watch it like a kid's film at home. It's not something I'm going to pay to go see in the theater.
From what I understand, the pre-screenings have gone so well. They're already talking about the Spider-Gwen character getting her own animated movie next year.
Oh, that's cool.
This was not going to be a one and done. Mm. The critical acclaim has been so positive. They may be giving most of these characters their own animated movies in the next year or two.
Right on. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I'm saying it's probably just not for me.
Yeah.
I am most interested in actually seeing Ralph Breaks the Internet. That would be the one that I think is highest on my list, followed by Aquaman. Surprisingly, the more that I see and the more that I hear from people about Aquaman, I'm like, actually, this could be kind of fun. Like, it looks like it's a good, ride. And then Mortal Engines, Bumblebee, and the crimes.
Not that I go by what critics say, but Mortal Engines is getting like, what is this garbage? Like, that's the comments from reviewers that like, this is bad. I'm like bad, bad.
I'm curious, hopefully, but the more trailers I see, it doesn't really sell me. I like the concept. So
that it was something when I saw the first teaser trailer, I was like, what is this? This is awesome. And then that second trailer they put out with like plot, I was like, oh, this sounds like Hunger Games, but with moving cities.
Yeah, it gets very, I don't want to say teen angsty, but it gets very predictable, or
yeah.
Just the archetypes that you see in the trailers, you've seen them all before. Like it takes a very original premise and then rips it down to like stuff you've all seen before. So I don't know, like it's the kind of thing though that it might be worth seeing on IMAX. Like there's a couple of, you know, movies that I've heard of lately that I thought, you know, that would be an experience, you know, like that might actually mm-hmm. be worth going to see. I'm, again, cautiously optimistic about Bumblebee. The more that I see of that, too, the more I want to check it out. I still think that we're not going to get to see just as many classic Transformers as we think. I think that's mostly just a flashback to sell it.
Yep.
But it does look fun, and I really enjoy the look of him and the relationship between... The more I see of the relationship between him and the little girl in it... I say the little girl, she's a teenager. But I think it looks compelling. I would probably enjoy that ride. And I'm hearing very good things about The Crimes of Grindelwald too. Not as much as I would think, but the people that
I'm hearing it's too long. What I'm hearing is that it's not a bad movie, but there's about 30 minutes too much footage.
And that's something I'm concerned about with Mortal Engines as well, with Pete Jackson, is that
he doesn't know how to trim it down.
Mm-mm. Or people don't let him. Or sorry, yeah. not that they don't let him, they don't force him to. Like they let him do his thing. And you know, granted, I appreciate the extended cuts of The Lord of the Rings. I do not appreciate the longer versions of The Hobbit.
Or King Kong.
Oh yeah, jeez, that's a long
King
movie.
King Kong is like I gave up on that movie like a third of the way through. I was like, this isn't selling me. This isn't interesting to me. And I got how many more minutes to go? I think it's time for me to call this one quits.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm again, cautiously optimistic about Mortal Engines, but everything else I'm sure I would enjoy in the theater. What have you been watching? You've been taking in anything over the last little while?
Well, we've had my brother-in-law here for a week, so I've been kind of like rewatching a whole bunch of stuff we've prior talked about. But somebody at work, we were discussing X-Men movies and geeky stuff, and somebody was talking about Patrick Stewart and like, have you seen anything besides Star Trek or X-Men that he's done? And I was reminded of a kids movie he did in the 90s called Masterminds. And when I was discussing it with my brother-in-law was like, I've never even heard of this. Granted, my brother-in-law is 12 years younger than me. So this movie came out probably he was like six. but so we rented it on Amazon and watched it. And it's a kid's version of Die Hard.
Okay.
This kid who's sort of supposed to be like the bad kid. He's like hacking the internet and stealing pirating games and getting in trouble with his parents. He has to go to public school because he's a bad kid. But his sister goes to a elite private school in Virginia.
Okay.
And he has to take her to the school and drop her off before he goes. And so he goes to drop his sister off, and they get a new security system being installed by a security expert played by Patrick Stewart from X-Men and
Star Trek. Yeah.
Hence why this came up in Star Trek conversation. And the idea is he's going to hold all the kids hostage and for ransom. And if he doesn't get the money, he's going to start killing kids. And so this teenage kid gets locked inside the building with them, and he starts taking out Patrick Stewart's guys one by one by like setting the furnace to blow up or hiding in an air duct and then like dropping something on somebody's head. And the one thing I will give it credit for is nobody dies, but they do not hesitate to show people shooting at this kid with like submachine guns and stuff. So it's a little more violent than you're expecting, but it still definitely pulls its punches a couple of times where you're like, no, that guy would be dead.
Yeah.
And it's like, nope. And then the guy gets back up. And you're like, okay, all right. All right. It's a kid's movie.
How is the kid's acting?
Okay. So the lead actor, the teenage kid, is played by the guy who played Pete Campbell in Mad Men.
Yeah. Vincent Kartheiser, I think is how you pronounce his last name.
And he is like a long haired teenager that rides a skateboard in the 90s.
I didn't even recognize him. I was like, yeah. What?
Yeah. And he's okay. He's definitely, they pull it over the top where they're like, no, we got to be more edgy. So the kid gives these one-liners that you're like, oh, these are so super 90s one-liners. At one point, somebody shoots a rocket launcher and the kid goes, what does he think he is, Saddam Hussein? And you're like, oh my God.
Wow. So it dates itself quite easily,
It dates itself quite easy. But Patrick Stewart is amazing in it. Like, they think they're going to get their money, and they think they're winning. And he's, like, dancing around the room and being like, oh, I'm going to the islands. And at one point, he takes off his shirt. And he's wearing a Manchester United shirt. And he's, like, doing a bunch of things about Manchester United while he, like, drives away in his getaway car and stuff. And it's really cheesy, like kids cheesy, but we had a lot of fun watching it.
Wow. Yeah. 97. That's the year I finished high school. I never even heard of this film.
Yeah. It was totally one of those movies that was like done. It only made $2 million at the box office.
Right.
And it got swept under the rug really quick. It didn't even come to DVD until like recently, like in the last 2 or 3 years. This was a movie that for years didn't even mention Patrick Stewart was in it.
I imagine that
on IMDb.
Patrick Stewart is probably quite happy about that until recently.
Actually, he sells the whole movie. He's the reason to watch the movie.
Right. He's got a very interesting Walt Disney mustache.
Yes. Man. And the best part of the whole movie is the bad guys have a getaway plan. And their getaway plan is to drive away through these giant sewer systems in like go-karts with cages on them. And so there's this like go-kart getaway chase scene at the end of the movie through a sewer system. And it's really cheesy.
You forget how like completely ludicrous these kids' movies can be.
Yes.
Oh, man. I feel like I have to now go apologize to my dad for all the films that he took me to go see when I was a kid. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Oh, yeah. They're bad.
Yeah. Those no, they do. They awful. Do not. They do not hold up. Go.
The only one I would say that holds up is that first movie isn't terrible.
No.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But everything after that is really bad.
Yeah. I was so disappointed with those new Turtle movies. I wish they had been better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just with technology these days. Really? I couldn't finish the second one.
I heard the second one was better by the person I know who's a real Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't watch the first one. And then he watched the second one. He was like, it's better. It's not great, but it's better.
Yeah. With all the technology and stuff that they can do these days, like stuff like that, there's opportunities for things. Like, I mean, I know that the one from, again, the 80s is terribly cheesy, but I would love them to do a proper remake of Masters of the Universe, like do a He-Man movie. I would be down for that. I mean, they'd have to, if they aimed it at the adults, don't make it a kids movie. Don't try to bring new He-Man fans in. Aim it at the 35-year-olds that grew up watching He-Man in the 80s and has all the toys. There's a rumor
that that's in development.
I saw the dude that was supposed to be cast to play him, and he's a monster from not the Czech Republic, but he's somewhere in like Eastern Europe, and he's a big man. And if he's an okay actor, then they could probably get away with it. This is the kind of thing where, like, you know, they've got the special effects now where they could really do Battle Cat and have it look fantastic.
Yeah. The other fun thing I should say about Masterminds that is actually the other really good reason to watch the film. It is the same building that is used for the X-Men's mansion in the X-Men movies. All of them.
That's priceless.
So when you watch it and the it cuts to the front of the building, I knew this before we watched the movie, but my wife looks over at me and she goes, that building looks familiar. Why have I seen that building somewhere before? And I'm like, oh, it was in Deadpool, because that's where Deadpool pulls up in front to go knock on the door to go get Colossus. I said, and it's also the X-Men's mansion in all the X-Men movies. And she's like, that's why I know it. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And so the entire movie is filmed in basically the same location as the X-Men movies.
Well, X-Men came out in 2000, right? So it's just three years later, you know, Patrick Stewart is like, hey, cool, I'm back here again.
Yeah, exactly.
Too funny. Well, that brings us into the Internet Minute, where I thank you for being a patron at patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. We are proud to be a listener-supported podcast, and if you'd like to help us out, then you can do so over there. By pledging at any level, you get an invite to the patron-only Discord chat, where we hang out and talk about geeky stuff like this all week long. There are multiple different levels on the Discord and on the Patreon page, so check those out. We are currently sitting at the same number of patrons in December as we had in November, and I always like to encourage one more patron to join the ranks every month. So we've got a couple weeks left to add 15 to December. So if you're thinking about it, then check out patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. If you have any questions, email me at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. And that brings us to the end of this episode of The Citadel Cafe. You can find out more about the show and links to all the things that Lou and I talked about at thecitadelcafe.com. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod, and you can find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. Also, subscribe on your favorite podcasting app or podcasting platform. That includes iTunes, Android, Stitcher, and Spotify. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am doing online at joelduggan.com. That includes my illustration and design portfolio. If you'd like to hire me, then just drop me a line there. I do Comics Coast to Coast with Brian and Matt, where we interview comic creators, illustrators, and animators. This week, it is the holiday special with Hammond. And I do The Spawn Chunks, a podcast about Minecraft with my friend Johnny. And that is coming out on next Monday with episode 20. It will be the last episode of the year, and we're doing an all mailbag episode. We call it Chunk Mail. And so we're going to be doing a bunch of listener feedback on that show as well. And before I go, I want to mention something really important. I have been spending a lot of time recently on a new Minecraft server with some new friends. It's called The Realm of Vastin, and I started doing some posts from there. But one of my server friends, he goes by Clouthouse on the server. His sister, Jennifer Harper, has unfortunately been diagnosed with a brain tumor. And the folks at Vastin are getting together to do a charity stream this Sunday, December 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern. There's a GoFundMe page that has been posted to help raise funds for this very expensive and very risky brain surgery that Jennifer has to go through. She's looking at between 4 and 12 weeks recovery time, I think they said. Grumpy Owl Gaming is organizing and leading the charge. I will have a link to his YouTube channel where he explains everything in the show notes. I will also have a link to the GoFundMe page for Jennifer in the show notes as well. So if you can't make the stream on Sunday, December 16th at 9 p.m., then you can always just check the Sizzle Cafe show notes. It's the kind of thing where $5 could make a difference. You know, we're just trying to spread the word and get some help coming in for Jennifer and her family. Everything else that I'm doing online is all just my name. It's Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Lou, where can people find you online?
Easiest place to find me is at Busy Zombie Lord on wherever social media is, or you can check out my podcast, Zombies Ate My Podcast, wherever you get your podcast from.
You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.